Hey everybody, what's going on? This is Rob Cesternino, and I wanted to tell you about what you're about to listen to. This is a series that we are trying out here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups called the Rise and Fall series. And today we're going to be talking about the rise and fall of Pirate Master. Now, this was an idea that was conceived and produced by three guys who have been in the Rob as a Podcast intern program for a while. And so they reached out and said this was something they wanted to do. And I said, go ahead and let's do this. So you are going to hear Aaron Robertson, Jordan Kalish, and Nick Fishman talk about the rise and fall of Pirate Master, which aired on CBS in the summer of 2007. It was a show produced by Mark Burnett, and it's all about the world of pirates. And so you'll hear about what happened in this one season wonder with one of the stars of that show. That would be Azmuth Kaczynski. So you're going to hear the guys talk with Azmuth about his experience on Pirate Master and just take a look back at something that just did not work out in the world of reality TV.
Let's go back in time. Like last week? No. Way back. Ha. Yeah. It's rise and fall time. Let's see where we go this time. Yeah. We're going back in history to take a look at all the shows that you and me watched. Maybe it rose, maybe it fell, but as far as you and I can tell, it's reality, baby.
Hello and welcome to the Rise and Fall series, where we take a look at older reality shows and what worked and didn't work about them, and we'll just remember the show in general. This is our first episode, and this week, I guess we are doing Pirate Master. So we got a little triad of people to talk about this show, and we also have a special guest with us. So I will introduce our panel first. I guess I will start. I'm Aaron Robertson. I do some music stuff on the podcast. We also have Jordan Kalish with us as well.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Jordan?
I'm good. Very excited to be talking Pirate Master today.
Yeah, I'm ready to talk about it. And to fill out our panel, we have Nick Fishman.
Hey, everybody. I'm ready to talk some Pirate Master.
Yeah. And last but not least, this gentleman needs no introduction. He was a very big character from Pirate Master, and you sort of can't talk about him without sort of going into an accent like this. Here's Azmuth Kaczynski.
Hello, everyone. Try and stick out of that that English accent thing. Whether some people loved it, some people hated it. So we'll see where that goes. I have other voices that pop out at random times. So this is kind of me. Howdy, guys. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast today.
Yes, well, we couldn't do the show without Captain Azmuth, so we really had to get you on here.
Yeah, definitely.
It wasn't that hard. I mean, you know, a little couple Twinkies and a little bit of fun in the water. That's all we ever asked for out there on the water on the ship.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have my pirate gold with me to give you, but yeah. Twinkies all that sufficed. So I guess to start off, we can basically go over sort of the rules of the show.
I hate rules.
There were so many.
Was it written on the wall or anything like that? I mean, like, how? Seriously, it's hard for viewers to follow, let alone living on a pirate ship with all the distractions.
It was such an amazingly new show that they had no clue what the heck they were doing, really. They had a kind of a model that they wanted to work with, and depending on how we reacted to that model, they would switch it up on us really quickly. Every day there was something new happening. Going, wait, weren't we just doing that yesterday? Then where did this come from? There was, other than the Pirates Court that happened every 3 to 4 days, in our time at least, that would, like, the black spot, the rules of how, okay, so if you really want me to explain them. So we got six people. Actually, that was the end. 14 people is what we started with?
16.
So, yeah. Eight guys, eight girls we started with. And we'd live on the ship. There was nobody that was a captain or first mate, second mate at the very beginning. And so we went on our first expedition. Two teams
Black and Red running head to head, and we one of us won the treasure. And from that, they, when we got back to the ship, we said, okay, nominate. The producer said, nominate a captain. We picked Jodan because he was, you know, running, keeping a lot of us on point, I guess, and guiding us. And so all of a sudden he's captain, and they say, cool, here's half the treasure. And they throw him half the treasure. And then we're all looking at each other going, wait, what just happened? What was, okay. And now you have to pick two captain or two first mates. And then he did that, and what, begrudgingly or not, whoever got picked, and then there went half the other treasure, and everyone else is staring going, wait a second, where's it all going? And so then we were regulated to deregulated down to pirates again, and given the rest to squander over the little bit that was left. So that was how the treasure divide dividends went. And then the next show or the next expedition would pop up, and then we would split the leftover pirates into Black Crew or Red Crew. Black Crew was always the captain. And then based on how the next expedition went, whoever ended up winning, if it was the captain's crew or the opposing crew, then if it was opposing crew, the captain's crew would be dismantled and the opposing crew would have to pick a captain and then two new first mates. So this happened about four or five times on the show until they dismantled that whole idea when the Triad, which you mentioned earlier, we came into power. We were just picking people off left and right. So halfway through, they our crew. What was it? Let's see. Our crew screwed up, and then that was they took away the first and second mate. So now there could no longer be a mutiny. They wanted a mutiny the whole time. It was set up in the show so that the captain had the first and second mate. The characters, the other pirates, could always mutiny if they wanted to against the captain, but the first and second mate were the protection. And so that was the show. They set it up to be an opportunity. We never did a mutiny. It would have been so cool to see that. What would have happened? We did knife training, which I ended up pretty good at, like knife throwing. We weren't going to fight with knives. That's, you know, that's not, that's not good for reality TV. So this isn't a stunt show. So we never really got to see what that outcome was going to be about. And those first and second mate made it too hard, since they were being paid heavily by the captain, to be have the captain actually get removed, because the whole crew had to agree with the mutiny, then get them signed on, and then a mutiny would happen, whatever that was. So there was that. And then once I got dismantled, that was something we can talk about a little bit later. But there was no more first and second, and things happened.
Do you know what would have happened if the entire crew had mutinied, but the officers said, no, we don't want a mutiny?
No, they did. They did that a couple times. They had talked about it, and it never got to that, because what had to happen is they actually had to get the first and second mate on their team and then bring it out of Pirate's Court. So they could never get to that. Once the black spots were handed out, the conversations would go around, can we mutiny? We got to get rid of them. What are we going to do? Oh, their allegiance is too strong. We can't do anything. Can we bribe them with money? Can we bribe them with the pardon? Because there's all the things that started popping up that would help you gain advantage in the game. So yeah, I'm sure they had a couple ideas of how that would play out if it did get to that point. Sadly, we never did. They were trying to throw stuff at us. It was such a new show that the producers every day were just throwing new things at us, trying to see if that would be something that would cause a drama. That was the one thing about our show that I don't think it tanked us personally. I think it was awesome, because I'm not, you could see on the show, pretty hard to make me look like a bad guy, and I'm not a bad guy, so I don't really like drama. I don't feed into that crap, but that's kind of what reality TV is about. So Mark Burnett had an opportunity to do something new, and he ran with the same old, instead of going, oh, these guys are having fun, let's show them having crab races and swinging off the ship and all that, you know, all this other fun stuff we were doing. Singing, we had songs. Ben, I'll talk about him in a little bit later in the show. He had an amazing song that he had written himself. We were beatboxing on Treasure Chest down below, and we were all drunk one night having a great time. And he had sing-alongs. We had our parts. It was amazing. So stuff like that, they didn't put in the fun stuff to the show. They just showed little light things, just to kind of show that we were doing something other than what they were throwing at us. And then they were trying to create drama, having a producer come up and say, so what did you think about Joy saying this about you? How did that make you feel? And then they just poke around. That's
what that's really how it works out on these shows. Is they a producer, a with this little writing pad, a sound guy, and a camera guy follow you around everywhere and kind of hide behind trees and hide behind doors and just listen in to your conversations, and then they throw the shit at you when you have an interview later on.
So Kendra and Nessa weren't the only two people hiding around on the ship then.
Oh, heck no. No. Actually, there was a, I think there was one point, maybe that was in Pirates of the Caribbean. I think we saw a crew member. I think we got lucky on Pirate Master. Sorry, we were watching Pirates the other day going, was that a crew member? That was a crew member. Okay, he's wearing a white shirt. Doesn't even fit in. Which is so, which thing is exactly what everybody looked like there, because we had a whole crew. We actually did learn a lot about sailing. And I mean, the amount of people that we had, we could never sail that ship, that huge bark that they transformed into a pirate ship. It was insane. But there's a whole crew that travels around on Picton Castle, was the name of the ship, traveling around the world all the time. So crew comes and goes. And so they were there helping us pull the lines and teach us how to do this, unfurl the sails. It's tough work. It is not easy work. If you want to do something, you want to travel and make it hard on yourself at the same time, go sign up on a pirate ship or three tier, what are those called? Three mast ship, just something big and crazy. It's a lot of fun. It's better when you're winning money.
How much training did you guys have prior to the show beginning for pirate ship sailing?
It was about 2 weeks. We got there 2 weeks ahead of time. They sequestered us, kept us all separate up in the jungle in these awesome bungalows. And then they were taking us down to the ocean, and they'd throw us in these longboats and give us lessons with a professional on exactly the different types of oars, there was short oars and then there was long oars. And so that we weren't just spinning around in circles, they taught us how to work together and train that way. There wasn't a lot of, I don't think there's much endurance training at all. It was really just that. And then they gave us a bunch of pamphlets on ships and rigging and knots and different types of things that may come in handy if you were a pirate or maybe on the show. There was so much information that we took in that really was never utilized. So, but hey, if you're pirates, that's cool.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot going on in this show. I guess we could now start to take a look at the actual show itself. And I guess the best way we could divide it up is maybe look at the first four episodes, because I feel like that's like the big takedown Jodan phase of the game.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah, very interesting. Like that very first night, everybody got on the ship, and John is like pulling the girls next to each other and being all creepy. Did you have any idea about who John was?
No, he was okay. So John, I can't really say anything bad about John. He was a badass. He was really good at what he did. The dude is actually a rocket scientist, super intelligent, but he's one of those he's right in between an extrovert and an introvert. It's like an introvert that really has been trying to be an extrovert for a long time. And so they go about it, but they don't know what's awkward and what's not, and what not to say and what to people. So he was totally fun and weird on the show. And a lot of people were weirded and creeped out by him. And I think he kind of just held that energy himself very, very well. So we really didn't have to make him do anything.
On his way out the door, he had that whole thing where he threatened to steal the compasses. I mean, did he really think that was going to stop you guys from voting him out? When you guys are on a reality show, they're not going to let you get lost. Were you at all worried that you weren't going to have the compasses anymore?
No, I think because I was in captain, yes, though, so I didn't have stuff being hidden from yet. I'm pretty sure I remember that happening and thinking, okay, yeah, I guess that's, in theory, that seems like a great idea, because you're grabbing something that should be very important. Like, if you're out in the middle of the ocean, yes, that would be very important. But even then, you still have the sun. It's just good to double check your bearings. But yeah, we all kind of looked at him like, you're crazy, you know that, right? Like, the second Jodan, he slowed it. It was beautiful. It was a wonderful moment. I think he was actually at Pirate's Court.
And he says, yeah, you look up at the sky, you find your North Star, you find this over here, you know where you are. And it was just it's like movie moment. Going, did he really just say that? He really did just shoot down the compass that easy, didn't he? Okay.
Yes. Did Jodan like kind of build up a character as captain? Because the moment he put that captain hat on his head, he was like, we're gonna have some changes around here, real big change. Like, was that really who Jodan was?
I wouldn't say that was who Jodan was. He actually is a really, really nice guy. We stay in touch, probably talk like maybe once or twice a year for a minute. What he ran into was the beginning of the show and them being able to push on us. I didn't play that game because I just said, screw you, producers. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want because you don't know what you're doing either. But the producers pretty much would come to him and say, hey, you got to do this. We just do it. You just bend over and be like, all right, cool. That sounds cool. We'll make them all feel like crap. Not thinking ahead going, how is that going to make me actually look? Are the people going to like it? These were my friends for a few days there and now I'm the evil guy because I just took half the treasure. So that looked bad on him very, very quickly because he wasn't willing to push back on production, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I think what made Jodan such an interesting character, he really, you know, he played the game in a way that at first, when you saw that he took half the treasure, he wasn't going to split it, I think you could probably see that this guy's not going to be captain the whole time. He's probably not going to win the game. But when you look at the strategy of Pirate Master as opposed to other reality shows where you could actually make a lot of money if you don't win. I mean, he still made more money than the majority of the people on the ship despite going out in the middle. So, I mean, I think the way that, you know, the way that he played, it probably wasn't going to be the best for winning the game. But I think there is some merit to the fact that, you know, he wasn't going to split the money and be the popular captain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you can get ahead that quick, because that was one of the cool formats there, is the fact that anybody at any point in the game could win money. And there was no build-up. The longer you lasted, the more you got, the more you gained. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, he did, since he was – I think he was won two treasures. And so he immediately came up with like 30, 40 grand.
I think I should probably state out loud how the treasure dividing up worked. How it worked was every week there was a treasure hunt where mm-hmm. you would head out and search for the treasure. First crew to find the treasure claims it, and then a certain amount of splittings of the loot occurs. But unlike certain reality shows, contestants were actually given their money in the form of gold coins, and they kept it on their person or in their bunk for the entire show as long as they're on the ship. So then they could... people could instantly tell, oh, I have more money than that person. I should bribe them. You can literally give money to other players for any reason at all. And this was what set this show apart from almost any other reality show out there. And one reason why I was so intrigued by it. So, yeah.
Yeah, bargain chips, for sure. They're sharing that around. And that was just that was actually a great idea. Be able to, and it makes sense. Pirates, you know, whether we're playing cards, we're going to be betting. You can't take that kind of stuff away from a show like that. It was, other than Stan Lee's Who Wants to Be a Superhero, it's really been the only other reality show that is a fantasy reality show. Everything, I mean, there's been what now they've got the LARPers and Dungeons and Dragons kind of stuff, of course, but that was a much, much later. So this was the first show that really came around that was completely fantasy driven. This is a world that we're setting these people in. It's not of our time right now. So yeah, they really had to stick to those, and it was good that to create some opportunities to where you could bribe somebody to not work with this person or to feed this person more. Or yeah, it was cool. It was really cool.
Did you ever bribe anybody?
Did I ever bribe anybody? I wouldn't say I necessarily bribed, but I kept Jay really close, although I kept Jay way too close, my bosun. So, of course, obviously you guys all know that. But I wouldn't say it wasn't really bribes. It was just I would take care of them better. As the show went out, once I became captain, which I'm sure we'll talk about more here soon, is I shared a lot more of the wealth than anybody else did. Not that that helped me anybody, because everybody hated me just as much. thought it would be nice, but that's just my kind heart working. Not always good.
Yeah. As far as the strategy worked, it seemed that we were only pretty much shown like the captain talking to the officers and not much of people talking amongst themselves on the ship. And that kind of led up to some like wonky votes, especially the Christian one, because I was really confused by how that was so split down the middle. Could you take us through maybe some of the strategy that may have been happening on the ship outside of the captain's quarters?
So based on, I mean, I was involved in that for 2 seconds, really.
based on the strengths that each of the competitors had, whether it was some that couldn't swim that well, Christian, who was huge and could carry stuff, and you know, he's a brute and he was great to have around, but he was slow. So everybody had their strengths, and based on their strengths and their weaknesses, that's how everybody started looking at each other. And of course, their personalities came into play as well. Does this person get along with everybody? Like, not Kendra, not Laurel. She was a redhead.
Alexis,
thank you. Yeah. So Alexis is cool, but she was just that. She's like one of those girls that have that voice, that attitude, that always it's just their way of being, and it comes off kind of rough sometimes. And so due to that, and not giving a shit about what was going on with the game, not a lot of people got along with her very well. And so those type of things started setting individuals apart from the group. If they didn't want to play along, they didn't want to help out, and the ideas they were coming up with. But yeah, for the most part, the crew tried to get along with each other, unless they could see that somebody was trying to nuzzle up to the captain or the other first mates. Like, who is it? Kendra was kind of our floater. Kendra's awesome. She's one of the real pirates out there that was from the show, and she kind of lives that lifestyle. But she was she's kind of like, why is she here? Because of her strength. She's not really strong here, and she's not super weak.
Yeah.
But she just keeps on sliding around. I think she was on the Pirates Corps Black Spot about 4 or 5 times. She was the Black Spot queen.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny to see how she slid along in the game, and she just stayed really close to the captains and Jay kept her. That's one of the strategies right there. Jay used her as a wild card, and talking to me, oh, if we keep her around, then we can keep this person on the show longer. We can keep this person off. Let's not put them up this time. Let's put them up the second time. So a lot of strategy came into that as well, how we actually played out the pirate sports based on who we wanted to get rid of, because we put up a pawn. We put up somebody that everybody really liked. They wouldn't want to get rid of, like Louis. And then we put up somebody that we didn't really want, and everybody would cut adrift. So there was definitely a lot of strategy on the black spot.
So you mentioned Jay in regards to strategy, where he, you know, there were a lot of times where they would show him either trying to manipulate the vote or talking to the captain about who would get the black spot. So on the show, by far, Jay was the one that was really talking about strategy. But obviously, the show is an edited show. Was this really the case, or was everyone really talking strategy in addition to Jay?
Jay was a freaking monster. Jay was scary. I love the guy. Obviously, that kept him so close. So he was a great competitor. He is the only one that has tried out for, that I know of, only one that really tried out for Survivor. He tried out 4 times, I think. And he had studied for 6 years, read books on strategy and gaming and all, just anything you could about how to win these things and work with people's minds. I'm sure he took a psychology class or some shit. But yeah, he was really, really good at getting into people, because he'd just be your best friend, and on the other side of his mouth, there'd be something else coming out. So a huge, huge game player. And he was the best. I'd say out of everybody, he was the best player on the whole ship. For a reality show, he was the one.
Side note about Survivor: was anyone on the ship aware of like the Survivor Pearl Island season, which was, you know, pirates themed?
I didn't know about that. I don't watch reality shows very much, or TV for that matter. I'm sure somebody did.
It just, as a viewer, Pearl Islands was one of the best Survivor seasons in the early days, and people thought, oh, Pirate Master, they're just using pirates, but like only it being the focus. So I found it to be very interesting how they decided to take that idea and just run with it. So, yeah.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, it was Mark Burnett's brainchild. So this is probably something when he did that Pearl Islands, because he created reality TV as we know it, really, at least the game show aspect, and he created Survivor. So I'm sure when he got on that, he said, this is so unique. There's got to be a show here that we can create that's just about pirates, because pirates are huge. Anything that's fantasy driven has a massive fan base, whether it's things like Star Wars, where you're sci-fi in the galaxy in the future, or pirates, or Game of Thrones, you know, these classical stories. But there's so many of us that it's that we want to break from that reality. So it really did make sense for Mark to jump onto the show. And I mean, he had, I don't know how many millions was spent on this production. It was insane. We had some of the best cinematographers that had worked on Star Wars, Indiana Jones, you know, just these huge, huge, huge shows for years and years and years. So there was, it was no joke of what they put into this baby.
Yeah. So we can jump forward and talk about maybe the moment in which you became captain. This was in the episode 3, in which Joe Don was finally unseated as captain. And maybe just walk us through maybe that feeling of accomplishment maybe after you won that treasure.
That was a lot of fun. So that treasure, that was, I think, how we won that one. I think I actually saw, because we were opposing Joe Don, we saw Joe Don screw up left and right, because we were on that one. That was one where Joy got hurt. And Christian had to carry her. And we were so close to each other that this is one of the episodes where the expedition started to change a little bit. We started to get smart. We started realizing that we had to say things really quietly to each other. And when we were starting to figure out the clues, because everybody had the same kit bags whenever we would start out on these expeditions. And we'd have to go through the exact same clues, the exact same everything. When you got there first, everybody was trying to decipher it first and whisper it to each other, to their own crewmates, and then run off with the other crew not knowing what was going on. So it felt amazing being able to watch Joe on and everybody else, maybe they're getting caught in the net or taking too long to get this thing together, and for us to know exactly where that treasure was. It was really a matter of slowing yourself down on every expedition, because we were running so fast, especially me. I'm super fast, so for me to slow down and stop and think about exactly what is going on here, how many paces did we get that number right, and to pull out that treasure, and then to be able to shoot that gun and shut them down, shut the other team down, because none of us were liking how Jodan was playing the game. I know, I guess one of the ways that I got put up there unknowingly, I wasn't trying to be captain, but I think over the last week of being on that, I was talking about how much I would, like, I wouldn't do that. Shoot, if I was captain, I'd do it this way or I'd do it that way. And everybody probably listened to me so much, be like, all right, you want a shot? Go, let's see what you can do. You think you're better, huh?
Oh, yeah. Very cool. I mean, and then you got, of course, the moment you became captain, you developed a unique way of speaking. You want to maybe go into how that came about?
Right, okay, so this is the beautiful thing about productions that we never see. Sean Toomey was, I think, the only actor on the show out of everybody. I hadn't gotten into acting yet. And so he did voices. I'd been doing voices for years and characters. And so when we were in the kitchen, we'd be doing all kinds of funny voices and just having fun, doing Scottish. And no, we really didn't play, because one of the kind of guidelines they gave us was, please try, the producers, they said, please try and keep within this realm. We know that you're from this era, but we're trying to stay in the pirate era as much as possible. So, you know, using the pirate vernacular, certain terminology, not talking about contemporary movies. So that was definitely a thing that we all had to learn and grapple with right away, was what do we do in our daily life that we would normally talk about, pop culture and things, and we have to remove that, stricken it. And anytime we talked about it, they just walked away. And that was also how we figured out, like, are we tired of having cameras in our face? All right, start swearing a lot and talk about movies and pop culture and TV, because there was no TV for pirates. We figured the crew out pretty quick. So back to the English accent. So we did that a whole lot, had a great time. Jupiter was in there with me, and what they can do with production is like, okay, we got, you know, 500 hours. Well, guess what? You're only going to see, you know, 20 hours of that. So they just removed anything that they didn't. And that's the same way to make somebody look bad. If you're doing a whole lot of good stuff, they just remove all the good stuff that you do and only show the bad parts. And so that's what they would do with the voices, is they never showed me and Sean having any fun with voices. And the second they put that hat on, I was already doing a crappy English accent, and poof, all of a sudden it was the hat. They were just waiting for that moment. I'm sure the editor saw that and just said, oh, yeah, I'm taking you down, baby.
And there were a lot of really funny moments during during Pirates Court during the season. One of my favorite is when Cameron kind of looks at you with a funny face. Is like, Asmuth, have you developed an accent? And I mean, he obviously knew what had been going on. But his look of fake surprise when you started speaking was really funny.
Yeah, they called it right out. And that's the thing. They were just trying to point everything out. I don't even know if I broke out. I probably did try to break out of the English accent, or maybe I just played it up even bigger. But it turned out to be they see that kind of stuff and they say, yeah, this is going to be a love and hate type of thing right here. People are going to hate it or love it. And that's I got so much shit for that, for doing the accent. Tons of people thought it was fun because it was being piratey and getting into character. But yeah, a lot of people thought that was stupid and I should die.
I think the one person who especially had issue with it was Laurel. I think Laurel became your nemesis early in the season. Do you have any idea what caused her to be so against you?
I don't know if it was because we both had dreadlocks or maybe we weren't into each other. I don't know what it was. Laurel's cool too. She has a very, I guess I could say East Coast way about her. So she's got some really interesting attitude, and that's attitude not in a bad way, but just like this. Also, she also had an edge to her, kind of like Alexis, but much more fun, much more quirky, and I don't know what it was. Yeah, it was just we never really hit it off from the beginning. There was just it's the same thing with a lot of personality. Mm-hmm. Certain people vibe and certain people don't, and we're always kind of looking out of the corner of each other's eye, right? One of those things.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, she in a confessional actually accused your dreadlocks of being fake. So I mean,
she was wrong. I've had extensions before in the history of 18 years of having dreadlocks 3 different times. I never had fake ones. They were just too good looking. I'm very sorry, but I took very good care of the hair that I had on my head.
I just wanted to point out that, interestingly enough, Laurel and Joy were the two youngest on the ship at being 21. Did age play any factor into sort of the interactions between people?
Yes and no. Yes, between, I'd say, the younger people, but personalities like Louis. Louis was, I think he's one of the oldest people on the ship, and along with Christian, and everybody got along with Louis. But Louis had such a boisterous, huge personality that you couldn't not love him. He was like the Viking pirate. He was awesome. And so no matter what his age was compared to Joy and Laurel, like, he also looked out for people. So it was that kind of that father bear type of feel. I got really, really well after we got to know each other a little bit more. I wouldn't say it was age so much. It was more personality that was affecting people.
I see. Yeah. It was around this time in the show that the royal pardon came into the game. Do you want me to explain to what it was and how to play effect in the game?
Yeah, so some of the treasures, when we came upon them, they didn't have a lot of money, a lot of loot, or there was something else. So one of those, I think there was a key in one at one point, which was the key to unlock the very last treasure. There was the royal pardon, and the royal pardon was found when we realized that I think it was the pirate that was the gambler, and he had swindled all the money away, but had a royal pardon that once the pirates had this, whoever had it in their possession, which the captain did, and that was one of the my worst episode when the royal pardon popped up. We also drank the most on that episode too, thanks to not finding the treasure after two or three hours of digging in the sand. So but yeah, the royal pardon was pretty much a pardon from the black spot. If you had that in your possession, it came up every time at a pirate's court. So pretty much every episode it would change hands. You'd go up on, well, actually, I think if you didn't go up on the black spot, but obviously we're going to throw you up on the black spot because then it would change hands again, or you could sell it. So there was that. I think somebody did buy it once or twice. We really didn't know much about its power other than that. I don't know if it could do anything other than just save your ass from getting cut adrift if you did get put up on the black spot.
I see, yeah. It worked out where every week you'd bid on it, the highest bidder would earn it, and then it would, by the next Pirate's Court,
it
must be bid up again and sent off.
Nice.
And I believe it would have saved you if you had bid on it. Is this true?
Yes, yes, it would have. Yeah, I was. My ego was still in check, or was still not in check, was still in place at that point in the game. Nah, you know, people like me. They don't like how fast I am, though, and how I take people out. I didn't take that into consideration. That was where the whole me sharing the money thing I thought would have come in handy. It's like, yeah, man, check it out. If I'm captain, I'll share the wealth. But that didn't help. Yeah, there was a couple. Jupiter going, not buying the black spot. Or the pardon. There was a couple things, but you know, it's like here's the thing. In the end, would it, because they were going for me so hard, they wanted to get rid of me. They said I was the biggest competitor. That's awesome. I really really enjoy that. I love whipping people on the trails, but. It's like had I actually gotten that pardon, would it have kept me on alive for one more and then gained $3,000 in that next treasure? I would have been on another episode and everybody would have seen me longer, but I would have spent 20 grand or 30 grand on it, right? So that's the way I was thinking right there also is I don't want to, because I think it was trading for 25, 15 grand and up with our gold coins is what they were worth. And I just wasn't interested in, I was holding on to my booty. Heck no.
So you're thinking about not the end game. You're thinking about the then game. You were thinking about you got your money. If you're gone at that point, not the worst in the world. You'd rather have what you have than lose half of it and then be voted out anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, totally. This is just me. I was rarely thinking about the end game because many of them talked to me when I finally left and said, so would you have done anything different? I said, you know, I would have had a little bit of strategy, I guess. Maybe I would have not shown my personality so much and been like, I'm an awesome competitor. Let's do this. I would have been, hey, I'm kind of slow, but I kind of help a little bit. You like me, don't you? So... that would have probably been the better strategy for a person like me to take, but that's not me. I'm very honest. I'm very, you know, I ain't gonna fake how fast or how strong or whatever I can do. These are my strengths. If you like them, awesome. If you don't, screw you.
So in that Pirates Court where you ended up not buying the royal pardon and you were cut adrift, were you surprised that the other two members of the triad, Ben and Jay, voted for you?
Jay, I was not surprised. Brad or Ben, it's not that I was surprised. I was just hoping he wouldn't. But at the end of the day, it's like, cause he was a sweetheart. We really got along. We had very similar archetypes anyways. but he had to do what he had to do. It's like, do you keep this guy around and you look bad? Because if he had gone against the crew, that would have made him look bad. And he ended up being in a really good place because of helping vote me off. I don't hate like that, you know?
Yeah, I think we should explain what this triad business was. If you were a captain and you, you had two, officers, first mates, whatever you want to call it, you chose Ben and Jay, and how the rules worked at that time in the game, officers and the captain were always on the same crew, and by that point in the game, there were so few men that you three were always on the same crew, and pretty much just ran the table with treasure hunts, and to the point where the officers were no longer part of the game, in which you got voted out immediately after that change happened.
They weren't expecting that.
I don't think. I mean, Nick, that was fair that the game changed at Final 8? Was that like a fair... I mean, obviously it screwed you over, but was that fair in terms of how the rules were?
I think it was completely fair. I don't think that was part of the plan that they were looking at. I don't think they expected to have a group, you know, be it guys or girls on one of the crews, end up taking out four missions in a row, three or four, whatever we did. And I think they had to do something. They were seeing that the show was going to lose its steam. And I really don't think the show ever did lose its theme. I think that was a CBS decision. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to put my tip in on that. We can talk about that later as well.
Do you think it would have made more sense for the show to like keep one officer and then have one captain and one officer? Or do you think it made more sense for them to lose both of them?
I think it made more sense for them to do that because they were at a point in the game where there was eight of us left. There was very few people to rally anymore. And for them to only have a captain, now a mutiny could happen. You know, and if any of those first or second mates were in the way, they were saying it was just impossible. It didn't matter if it was – I think they realized whether it was one or two people in front of the captain. There was just no way. The captain – if the captain had to drop cash in the person's pocket, well, that would have been great. Like, hey, what do you want to pay me? 40 grand? Cool. Guess what? You just ended up getting mutinied. Oh, that's what I would have done if I was still there. But yeah, that was just another great, I think, change by one of the very few great changes by the production that they had up their sleeve.
Yeah. Makes sense. Do you think if you would have won that challenge in which you lost as captain, would you have been mutinied? Is that what you would think?
Probably. If they would have had that chance, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it, because everybody, even though Ben was on my side, I was friends with Louie. Louie thought I acted funny. I was friends with Nessa, even though I kicked her butt a whole bunch and she kicked my butt a whole bunch. Had Jupiter stayed, I would have been okay.
Yeah, Jupiter's elimination was a very interesting development in the game. I don't attribute any fault to you. I think Jupiter totally messed up her game, and I'm going to set the stage. So the whole crew, I think it was final nine? Final nine. You're having dinner, the entire crew together. Out of the blue, Jupiter starts talking about mutiny to who else but the captain and the officers. And while we at home know her intentions just to try to warn you of what was going on, she's in a public forum talks about mutiny. What was going through your head the moment she opened your mouth?
There's a tidbit I'm going to give you in a second that I don't think I've ever actually said on live TV or on radio. But other than that, you'll like this. It's interesting. I'm going to throw myself under the bus real far. So she, during that thing, it was just a shock. It was a shock because we had talked, because we were really close. We were the closest on the whole ship. And then she just came out and she did what she didn't say she was going to do, or what she said she wasn't going to do. And it really just blew my mind, because I'm looking at her going, what are you doing here? Like, this is not going to look good for you. Oh, shit. You know, I was like, you did just, oh. And then our reason against you, because they were talking about mutiny, and she just kind of put the light on it. So she threw herself under the bus, not a good time. And everybody knew that we were buddy-buddy. So they were going to take her out the second that they saw that. And it's like all of a sudden she created an opportunity. She really did create an opportunity for herself to get put up on the black spot. Now, that was up to me to make that discernment. And I did. I got coerced by Jay, and I'm sure he coerced Ben into making enough sense to me to put her up there. She actually had requested not to go up until the next court, because she was one of the very few that had ever been on the black spot. So me and Jupiter have a history that I really screwed up on, because I don't know if you guys knew this. I don't think anybody knows this, but you know, it's been so freaking long and I really don't care. And the show got tanked, but me and Jupiter have known each other for a long time. Me and Jupiter knew each other before we went on the show.
No.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
That makes so much sense.
How did you guys meet yep. before the show?
Let's see. So we did the show. I didn't know her that long, I guess. I knew her since 2006. I moved down to Los Angeles in 2005, and thanks to DJing and doing events, I fell into a place called Space Island, which is
just happens to be space pirates and wenches. So I ran into Jupiter there. She was one of the bartenders there. And so we became buddies with everybody else in that scene. And it just so happened that we both got called out of our group of like Burning Man artsy individuals to come down and audition. This was like the last 2 weeks of them traveling all over the country trying to find contestants for the show. We got in the very last 2 weeks, and we both locked in, and they accepted both of us to be on the show. So we're sitting there in the hotel rooms texting each other, being like, oh, this is cool. What have you been up to? Holy shit, you get the shots. So we did. We had a pact going into the show saying, hey, you won't, you know, you got my back, I got your back. So that's why I went down and just bawled my face off in the cabin, because that was just, you know, it's like your integrity took you. The whole world saw my integrity, my life's integrity, take one of the biggest hits it ever will take in my life on national TV. So that's what really was going on there. Thank God there was a little crab to crawl up the random like bedside and like make us all laugh and get me back on a mental track. But yeah, that was that was a really rough time for me because I couldn't, you know, as a human, you're going, I just totally screwed my friend over and everybody watched and I totally had control. Oh shit. So yeah, that was my tainted moment in one of the tainted moments in the last 5 years of my life.
Yeah. I mean, in your defense, the majority of the people watching the show, I think they saw that scene, and obviously we didn't know about the prior relationship or anything else that went on, but when we saw the scene at dinner, it really sounded like, you know, if Jupiter had said that to me, I would think that she was trying to mutiny against me. So I think the way that she went about it and, you know, and made it a public conversation instead of going to you in private and saying, Azmuth, the crew wants to mutiny against you, which would have actually been great for her game strategically.
Yeah.
I really don't think the viewers blamed you for that. I think it was completely on Jupiter.
Yeah. I mean, that's the rationale that I had to keep on putting into my own head to make myself feel better about it. But
that was a big episode because that was actually the same episode the Ghost crew came back. And we'll also relate that to the Outcast Tribe Survivor twist in which the same thing sort of happened where voted out castaways were then brought back, but in the Survivor's case, they were brought back to actually get back on the show. In your case, it was just to take money and possibly unseat you as captain. What were your thoughts when you saw those guys come over the side of the ship into the Pickton's Castle?
That was awesome. I think that's probably one of the few times that all of our hearts raced because we had no clue that they were coming back on board. That was one neat thing about the production is they did keep their secrets pretty well. Hidden, and it was just exciting because some pretty good competitors came back onto the show, and it's like Joe Don had he was all rough and not unshaven, and so everybody looked like, you know, that's what they requested, like nobody shaved for the next couple weeks while you guys are being ghosts, and they just were sequestered and healthy. They got to eat, we were all malnourished, so it's just that, oh shit, what are we up against now, what's gonna happen? And we all know how that turned out.
I will say I'm sorry, but I have to say, originally, I was rooting for the ghosts. I'm sorry.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, back in Survivor, the ghost equivalent actually did win and won big. But in your case, apparently John screwed up majorly and lost the key in the river. Did you ever learn about them, about how they lost? Or did you ever see them again after the expedition started?
Oh, no. I don't think we saw them once. That was one of the two long episodes. The one that was like a 5 hour. Usually the expeditions last about 2 hours. This one and that one were both about 5-6 hour days, getting so long that the camera people weren't sure if they were going to be able to finish this episode, along with the royal partner when we were going to send. So we all got into the mangrove trees and running up that river, and I don't know what it was, but you know, you got to keep that shit on you. And we both took different directions. We actually took the wrong route. We went through because our compass was wet. And we went through a whole bunch of jungle, which made it really rough. Even if we had gone straight, we just hopped right on the road and out of the jungle. And they got to the jungle or got out of the jungle and then realized on the road, I think that was when we saw them. They oh, shoot, wait, where's the key? And so they had to go back. No, we didn't even see that. We didn't even know until later on because they were literally ghosts to us. They were ahead of us, I think. And then we split at that intersection. And from then on, they searched for, 2-3 hours, trying to find this key in the water that he had in his pocket or tied around his – I think he tied it around his belt or his waist, which none of the stuff we were wearing was very strong anyways. So I don't know what was going on there. But then for us – we made it up to the cemetery, and I read the readings, and the readings were literally 20 feet off. And so that 20 feet off led us and the camera guys into the jungle a mile and a half past where the treasure was. And this is swamps, ravines, hills, all kinds of craziness that just walking around in circles trying to figure out what the heck was going on at this point. You know, being malnourished, stressed, overexerted. You're so ready to give up. And finally we went back, almost retraced our tracks up to at least the hill before the cemetery. And I just had a feeling off to the right that there was something down. We started kind of combing this area where we took the wrong step, and we ended up finding that angel tree or whatever it was, and that was a pretty epic moment to finalize that and be like, I don't know what happened to the ghosts. They just became ghosts and disappeared. Woo! Maybe they were never actually there.
You spoke about the cinematography of the show before. One of my favorite things they did one of the coolest things they did actually, they brought the ghosts back to the cemetery and then they kind of had them disappear. I just thought the whole fact that they're at the cemetery, they're called ghosts, and now they have like the camera, you know, they disappear into thin air. It was one of the cool things they did during that episode.
In the context of what was actually going on in real life, that episode was actually the last episode to be shown live. Because then it was canceled and then all of the episodes were moved online, sort of. Which was kind of unfortunate because I thought it was a really good run, especially that episode. So from your boot on to the end, I think we have this like really long end game phase where Krista ends up taking the captain's seat, and it's pretty much a straight run to the finish.
It was cool for me when they cut it like that, because I was still captain, so it didn't look like I went anywhere. It worked out for Krista. She was the longest running captain after me, and you know, it was really just talking about the CBS thing right there. That's why I think that the show got dismantled, because it was such a unique show. It had so many rare attributes in reality TV, and it was just so much fun and so different. And it actually had better ratings than Survivor had on its first season. So if you want to look at it, like, I get it's a reality show's been on for a while after that, so if the ratings aren't what they expected, then they did what they did. But if you really want to go, okay, this was Mark Burnett's child, he created reality really like this, and it got that ratings in Survivor its first season, and no one really even knows about it because they didn't promote hardly anything. There was hardly any TV ads if except for on their channel. There was, I don't know what the legality beyond that is, but there was not one billboard, not one magazine, not one newspaper, not one radio ad, not one. Like, how do you expect a new show to get out there if you're not going to promote it? And that was the thing that really blew my mind, is that when it got so that, coupled with the fact that the show number 7 and number 7, they had already planned that if it wasn't getting the ratings that they were requiring, that they were going to move it to another time slot. Well, they moved it that week to the next time slot, pissed off a lot of fans, the diehards that were watching it. They had TiVo'd it. Where'd it go? Cool. Okay, I found it. Guess what? Next week they changed it again. So it's just like this slippery slope that they threw at us, or at least threw at the show, that there was just no way for Pirate Master to survive. Someone sank the ship. I'm pretty sure somebody planned from the inside to sink the show before it could actually get its legs, which really sucked, because it would have been, it probably would have kept going.
In the context of reality TV, there was this also very kind of dark period for Mark Burnett as well. So they were just ending the 2006-2007 season, which, for in Survivor terms, Cook Islands and Fiji had just aired, and Cook Islands had already had that whole race controversy, and then Fiji with the whole have-have-not twist thing. So it was kind of not – people were kind of turned off of reality TV because it was starting to get too much in this period, and Pirate Master was kind of a victim, because I feel like if it came on now, it would be really good, but just that time period, it was not a good time period for it to be in.
I think Pirate Master came out after Pirates of the Caribbean, or like it was actually like synchronized in some way, obviously, CBS and Disney aren't together. I mean, if ABC had released Pirate Master, I think this would have been a whole new ball game. Think of Johnny Depp coming in as like a guest host or something. I mean, I'm just like, oh wow,
that would have been rich.
Yeah, it would have been amazing if that had happened. Of course, this is all like.
And funnily enough, ABC is actually coming out with their own fantasy reality TV show this year, The Quest, which is very like Game of Thrones hero type show.
Awesome. I'm gonna try and get on that next episode or next season. That sounds like fun. I'll go with the best for that for sure.
I think if they were to bring back Master 2, they would be able to analyze what twists work, what twists didn't work, because I think the casting great. I really think for the majority of the pirates out there, they did a really good job in getting people who were interesting, strategic, strategic and pretty piratey. So I think if they were to look at, if they were to do a similar job with the casting and were to look at the parts of the game that worked really well and then tweak the ones that didn't work well, I think if Pirate Master came back, they would actually have a pretty strong show.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, and there's, man, I would love that because I might be able to get vaults. If you guys ever know anybody at CBS that has access to the vaults, I want to get that unseen footage because there's so much good juicy stuff in there that we'll never see the light of day unless I go and ransack that place for all the lost footage of Pirate Master. I will do it one day. It'll happen. And I will peel it in front of us. What's that?
If there was a Pirate Master DVD, what kind of extras could we expect to be in it?
Okay, so the extras would definitely be, you know, what kind of fun actually happened on the crew. There was definitely a couple light romances going on that no one really saw very much of. I can't remember who those were between, but I know there was a little bit of touchy-feely going on. How much we actually drank, because we were literally pretty much drunk every single day we were on the show. The barrels were not filled with water. They were definitely filled with grog. So we were drunk. I mean, I wouldn't say we were drunk off races, but we were liquored up pretty heavily most of the show. They had these gigantic barrel in the captain's quarters. They had a smaller barrel in the crew quarters. And I don't know if you guys know this about pirates, but it's true back in the day. So when grog is what pirates would drink, well, grog, it wasn't that pirates didn't drink water. They drank alcohol, is that the barrels that would sit on the ships filled with water would, they didn't have the technology we have these days, so the wood would get bacteria on it, and so the water would become not diseased, but it would have stuff that we don't need in our body. So the only way they can disinfect that was to pour tons of alcohol in it, and so it was a diluted version of alcohol, rum, that they had pirates were really drinking on the ships, and it was, that's how they got their water intake. So that's why pirates were were actually alcoholics. They had no choice. It was the only way to survive, strangely enough. Yeah, so between that, between how much booze we were drinking, more of the games that we were playing. I spin fire, and so somebody, one of the crew members, knew how to make a monkey fist, which is this really crazy wrap. And so I found a rock and grabbed rope, and I think me and Jupiter both made these poi out of rope and rocks. And so it's just like the random stuff, random cool things that we were doing on the ship day to day. The games we were playing to keep ourselves interested would be the extras on the show, and then maybe so a little bit more insight. Like I was cheating production. That we can go off in a couple different food. And now let's talk about food. Okay, so when I was, I never got the, I was never one of the, I did help cook, but I was never one of the chefs. There was supposedly the chef's curse because Sean and Jupiter both left the second they were chef or cooking for the captain. So from that, I was oftentimes in the kitchen helping get things ready and trying to provide for the crew. Like what, because that was another thing besides the money. I was always trying to say, what can we do for the crew right here? What can we get everybody food in? And what I started noticing is that the one thing that our department was replenishing was all of our spices and like sugar and flour and things. So and I guess supplies, like raw supplies. It would was it rice? So there's something else that was kind of a staple. And I would take, there were so many different pots and pans and weird things they put on the ship. I would take it and start hiding it underneath these cupboards in the kitchen, way deep in the back, behind stuff. And so we would have a supplement of other stuff when it looked like we were getting low. The production would think we were getting low. And that's why I think the production was trying to throw all kinds of shit at us, because they were trying to malnourish. This is how shows work. This is one of the reasons I would never go on Survivors, because I actually like my body. I actually like being healthy. And I don't ever want to deal with that. So they were waiting for us to become disenchanted, stressed out, hungry. You know, it's just all the things that happen from when you start starving. You stop acting, you start acting out and reacting to people much more quickly. And so I kind of held that back at bay because I made sure we had more sugar, just things to spice things up a little bit. So there's that. I'm gonna jump forward a little bit. Once I was captain, the actual captain of the ship came to us, requested a couple of us talk, and he said, you guys just aren't really good pirates. Like, you guys need to do more piratical stuff. You guys need to be better pirates. I mean, this is like the captain of the Pitcairn Castle. I had nothing to do with the
over other than that we were on a ship. So we're thinking, okay, cool, we'll figure something out. So then what we did is we actually got really clarity, and we would sneak up. So there was one, this one kid was one of the executive producer's wife's brother, and so they gave him a DV or a little DV camera, and he would be on there with us at the night. There would be the ship's crew sleeping, our whole production would go ashore, and he would stay with us, the only one. And so he'd kind of film at night and just catch us sleeping if we were talking or strategizing, things like that. And so one, I think it was a couple nights, we'd find it when he was sleeping, he would pass out for a minute, and Jupiter would run and grab me, or I'd maybe go wake up her and one or two other people. And so we started sneaking up on the ship. So much fun, man. I'm like, you're bringing back some nostalgia right now. Just the wind and the ship and the night and just sneaking around like pirates. It was so much fun. So there's a part of the ship that we weren't supposed to go by the hull. And they always had blankets covering production gear, so we wouldn't see that. Well, we snuck behind there. Now that there were these containers of food from catering that day that had just like huge chunks of steak, stuff like containers. And at this point, okay, so there's containers that were like partially eaten stuff, and then there's containers that were not even touched. And at this point, you're going, I'm gonna eat anything. I don't care if somebody else bit off it. It's food, and we're starving, so we need to eat. So we started stealing all these containers, and we'd rush back to the captain's quarters. Everybody would jump on my bed, and they made it so that they had draw curtains. I guess they were hoping people were gonna have sex on the ship. And so we would close the curtains because they had cameras in the captain's quarters too, and we'd start unwrapping things and like sharing the fish and sharing all this like gourmet meals. So that was the second step. Actually, I stopped. So when the captain first asked us to get more priority, right when you walk into the captain's quarters, there was two doors just kind of inside behind me. Stepped in. One was to the edge because it got so freaking hot, and thankfully they gave us a captain's air conditioning, which was so cool. And then the other side wrapped around in this dark corridor because they put the captain's quarters inside the storage area of the ship. And so once you got to the backside of the quarters where the build stopped, all of a sudden there were these ice chests and all kinds of stuff. We started stealing the crew's food, the actual crew of the ship. And we did that for about four nights, I think, in a row. We were getting chocolate chips. We were getting some good vegetables, bread, and we had to let it like kind of thaw out a little bit. And it was pretty funny. So, but after 4 days, the captain was like, yo, you guys got to stop this shit. The production actually came like, whatever you're doing, you guys got to stop doing that because you're getting in trouble. You're stealing from the wrong people. That's when we started stealing from our production, and we figured out that they had food too. So yeah, it was fun being pirates, you know, like you got to get sneaky and get creative and kind of push back on the power. Ours to be.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Awesome.
And a lot of the behind the scenes drama.
Yeah. So let's return to these last few episodes before we talk about the show in general. So I guess on paper, these webisodes look pretty one note, with a lot of, you know, the black crew winning and then Krista being captain and then Jane Ben talking and somebody going home that's not them. But there were a lot of like back and forth decisions and Krista struggling to make decisions, especially during the final five episode with the whole Ben and Jay kind of going against each other and sort of competing for Krista's trust, culminating in Ben versus Louis at that Pirates Court. So that was a pretty crucial moment because it kind of made the final game play out the way it did.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And eventually at the end, it came down to the final three. It was Jay, it was Krista, and it was Ben. And they had one final expedition where it was just each of the three. And then we got to a very interesting part of the game in which all of the ghosts come back, every pun who's been eliminated, and they vote one person into the final two and vote one of them into the eliminated players. So were you at any point in time told this is going to happen after being voted out, or was this a surprise to you as it was to everyone else?
For all of us that were back there, they didn't say that we were going to be coming back. They just said something else was going to happen. So like, hey, if you guys want to stay in shape, whatever it is, like, don't let your guys self go because you guys are going to have another chance on the show. of just being on the show. So whether that was us just being on camera again or another expedition, I was working out the second I was off the show, every single day, running down to the shore and lifting big rocks, whatever I could, because we didn't have a gym, and then running a lot so I could stay conditioned for that. Not everybody did that, and I'm sure that did help me aid in the end. But yeah, none of us had a clue what was going to be going on. We were all just, once you got kicked off, you just went back, sat around, watched Nip Tuck, and ate a lot of junk food, really.
So you were all at the same elimination area? You weren't sequestered at that point?
Oh yeah, no, once, because they only kept us sequestered at the very beginning because they wanted to create that tension of who is this person? Oh wow, look at how much better shape they are. Look at what they're doing. Oh, are they my competition? But once we were buddy-buddy on the show, it's just like, why? You guys are friends. You know everything about you. You can't, there's nothing that you can do once you're off the show to affect the show. We were on the other side of the island where they had us all set up. So yeah, they just let us have, it was fun at that point, really. Some of us were happy that we got kicked off. I was really happy too. Not that I didn't want to stay on the show, but it's just like, man, I just could really use some pizza right now. Go dancing, just do something. You know, just like, where's the real world again? This is just crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, so then at the end, you have to choose. You are one of 13 voters to choose between Jay and Krista. And it was a lopsided vote, 12-1, voting Jay out. What swayed your vote at that point in the game?
Voting them over Jay?
Voting Krista over Jay, yeah.
Yeah, well, one, Krista was a badass, and she was super cool the whole show, even though she, like, you know, totally seemed ditzy. She was actually really smart and a hell of a competitor. So with Jay, it was just, you know, backstabbed. Of course, I'm going to vote Ben because Ben was a kindred spirit, where Jay is just like, man, I want to slit your throat. you were too damn good, and I couldn't see it coming, and I regret that, and you're going down.
Yeah, I mean, when that twist came and I saw what was going on, I mean, I knew that Jay was going to get more votes than Krista in that scenario. But as a viewer watching the show, I mean, I was rooting for Jay, like, you know, towards the end of the game, especially when he really had, you know, I think, you know, he was able to manipulate Krista. He was able to manipulate Ben and some of the other pirates on the ship. So I knew that Krista was going to be the one to stay in the game. But as a viewer, I also sort of thought it was an unfair way to get to the final two where the players who had been voted out, because it didn't appear that Jay knew that this was going to happen. I think all three pirates thought that they, you know, the three remaining pirates were going to be the ones to look for the treasure at the end. So I kind of felt bad for Jay because, as you said before, he played this badass strategic game. And Krista was, I mean, I like Krista too. She was also a badass. She was really good at the challenges. But I thought Jay just, like, you know, played the hell out of it, and it's a pirate show, and he was the most, you know, he was the devious pirate, and he made that case at the end. So I sort of felt bad for Jay in that scenario.
Oh, totally. I could see a lot of America feeling bad because he was I'd say he was the biggest, he was the best competitor for drama-driven reality.
Okay, so after Jay is voted out, Cameron tells Jay that he's not going to be cut adrift, and instead all 16 of you are going to stay on the ship and kind of work again, which I thought was kind of weird. And there was some tension between Ben and Laurel, because Laurel was not having Ben, and some of the other people were sort of kind of lazing around. And then after a while, Ben and Krista got to pick their teams to go on the final expedition. And surprisingly, I guess Ben chose Azmuth, you, and Cheryl, and then Krista chose Jay and John, and then they both picked Nessa, which I thought was pretty surprising. What did you think of that whole deal of, you know, just trying to win Nessa over by having everybody sort of give up their own money?
Right, yeah, how much can we throw at this girl? I mean, I think that's brilliant. I don't know what else we could have offered her to pick a side. And, you know, had we thrown money from our side at her, would it have done any good? Because I can't see it have done any good.
I was very surprised that Jay and John were willing to give up their share of Krista's money if she were to win.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah. John had $2,000 in his pocket. I mean, Jay had a lot of money. I mean, Jay, I wasn't surprised for Jay, but John jumped in out of nowhere saying, "Hey, yeah, I'll follow you into battle as well, Krista." Did you have any idea about like John being so for Krista?
I think John was at his point in the game. He was probably just looking for any, and I probably would have been the same way. He was probably just looking for any way to get back on the ship, back on TV, back in the run of things, because he was he's a big tough guy, and so to be taken down so quickly twice in a show that you think you're going to be a badass in, and you got the long hair and the sexy pirate vibe, and it's probably got to be pretty hard hitting on you. And you're going, this is my one chance. Whatever I got, if I can rub two coins together and make a third, you're going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ben chose you with his one pick for a guy. If let's say Krista had also picked you, so you were in the same position as Nessa, would you have sided with Ben immediately? Would you have been a Krista or filled out for more, for better?
I would have gone with Ben immediately, just because I just loved him, man. It's like, because when I said that, he was always my first choice when we created the triad. So I think was it Jay and Ben the first time? I don't think it was
Jay. Jupiter and Ben.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, yeah, so you can see that I kept Jupiter real close. It was Jupiter and Jay, or Jupiter and Ben?
Jupiter and Ben.
Right, so through that, we became really, really close, and the triad came up. I was going to put Jupiter back in. See, that was another thing that happened, and she's like, I want to go back to the crew. So that's where Jay came in, which was freaking really helpful for Jay. So that was a horrible move that Jupiter gave me right there.
Future Aaron here with a correction. Asmuth actually chose Jupiter and Jay as his first two officers, since Ben was on the opposite crew at that time.
Ben's awesome, man. He's just a super sweetheart kind of soul on that whole damn ship, and really, really talented. And obviously, I mean, we saw how the whole thing unfolded, and kid kicked ass. He owned it.
Yeah. So in the final excursion, the two crews. Oh, for the record, Ben chose your friend Jupiter actually to join your. I mean. Were you surprised by Jupiter being picked after Nessa was not available for your team?
I was super stoked about it. I loved it. I mean, it was just like, that just made our team that much more strong, because that was one of the initial surviving captain, or like lineages, I guess you could say. Hierarchies.
That's true. Everyone on your crew was at one point a captain or an officer, so that is a pretty strong crew.
True, very strong crew. Yeah, we all kicked ass.
Yeah, and then, of course, you went ahead and won the final task, and as your reward, you got to split the money that Ben had earned prior to the grand prize.
Yeah, I think it was 70 grand, 80 grand, something like that.
Wow.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty healthy.
Played out pretty well.
Yeah, I think so we all got about another 15 grand right there. 15, 20 grand.
At least, yeah.
Do you think that Krista would have come any closer in that final expedition if instead of maybe John or Jay, and I mean, Jay was good at the challenges, but she left some guys like Jodan was really good at challenges. Sean seemed like he was really good at challenges. And I really was surprised that neither of those two were picked to join a crew.
Oh, yeah.
Personally, yeah, I see exactly what you're talking about. And I would have
definitely picked Sean or Jodan over... brain fart. Not Jay. Over John, because really it was interaction. His interaction with individuals, and so when we were on these tasks and trying to decipher stuff, even if somebody was really good at figuring out a clue, actually expressing that and deciphering that and sharing that with the group was also a very important part of the game. And so his disconnect with people's personalities or being able to interact really well with individuals, I think, was something that inhibited them because he's one that I think got flustered pretty easily, because he would let just whatever get to him and override his really quality thinking. Had she picked Jodan, who's a great, great competitor, very, very intelligent guy, or Sean, who's just a badass as well, I think those would have helped her at least get a better chance of winning. Because there was, I can't remember where it was, I think it was in the cave, where we gave Ben a hell of a head start. He came in there and there was some goof up, and they were quite a ways behind. She caught up to him when she was in the cave, or when he was in the cave. He deciphered the wheel and just bounced, and she had no steam. She comes down the hill, so we watched. At that point, that was the last clue. He just had to run the rest of the race on his own. We just disappeared again, but we were down there right below the cave, where they had like, I don't know, quarter mile to run up to the up this hill. And she comes down running, and she ran in the wrong direction. She ran, like, did not fly. Obviously, she wasn't on point with what was going on with her. And so she was completely sapped at that point as well. So even if John or somebody else had been there, I don't know. I think it would have given her a little bit more time closer to ours, but in the end, that's really, it was just being malnourished for so long on the show, tired, worn out, done, was what distracted her to where once you run in the wrong direction, there's no chance. You can't catch up. Oh. And Ben was on fire.
So now that we have Ben as the winner of the final expedition, he wins his $500,000. He's the pirate master. We know, obviously, you are a fan of his from the things you've said about him already. Is there anything like we saw a little bit of strategy out of him, especially towards the end. But when you were on the show, was he a strong strategic player as well?
I wouldn't say he was. I think his strategy really was just, I'm the likable, easygoing guy. And I'm pretty sure that was a strategy until he really needed to start enacting things towards the end, and he could actually start making his own decisions for himself. He was very much like Kendra, where Kendra was just kind of floating along. Only Ben was the very, very likable version of that, and just made friends with everybody. There was no reason to get rid of him. He was a strong competitor. He was a nice guy. He went along with everybody, whatever he was going to say. He didn't really talk out the sides of his mouth. So that, in the end, was obviously a really great strategy.
Yeah, it definitely worked for him.
Yeah.
It did kind of help that he was an officer for pretty much half the game, and the officers were technically the best position to be in. But yeah, he did play it smart.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
But yeah, okay.
What's next? Yeah. What else to talk about?
So I guess now that we've sort of gone over the show, now we can sort of talk about sort of like the general rules or happenings of the show, what we liked and what we didn't like, and how we think if the show were to have a second season, what kind of changes would we like to have seen?
I think the first thing that we could take a look at is how hard, and we touched on this a little bit before, how hard it was to mute. Because you needed, first of all, every single person who didn't have the black spot to vote for mutiny, and then you needed both officers to agree to the mutiny. And the officers are most likely going to be people that are aligned with the captain because the captain chose them. There were no mutiny cards played the entire season, and I think maybe a way that they could improve this is making it easier to mutiny, which would maybe you would only need a majority of the crew and one officer. And I think maybe if the officer became captain after the mutiny, I think one officer would be more susceptible to agree to that instead of, because what would have happened to the officers if there was a mutiny? Would they just become part of the crew?
Yeah, most likely. That's probably all they had formatted for that. Yeah, exactly what you just said is definitely the way that they would need to go about it if they were going to go and revisit this whole adventure. That's the only way. There has to be an incentive. Obviously, there's a big incentive for the crew, but there's no incentive really for the officer that would be helping with the mutiny. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, and because the game was set up as it was, the officer became a very powerful position, because if you were doing well, not only could an officer not go home, they also were like the deciding factor of who did go home, whether it was a mutiny or they could sort of have free will to influence people without danger of themselves going home. So Ben and Jay, who were officers for weeks on end, were able to like sort of get by in the game without being in danger themselves of getting black spotted, and kind of prevented mutinies from happening, all while acquiring a bunch of money.
Yeah, they pretty much, by adding those first and second second mates, they did give them a lot of power, and also at the same time, kind of throw that mutiny card out into the wind and not even make it possible, because they were siding with both energies. They were happy keeping the captain happy and keeping the crew away, and then they were working with the crew and putting information down from sharing information from the captain and what was going on there and how people were feeling. So I would say that the captain was not the strongest place to be in the game. The strongest place was definitely the first or second mates, because I wasn't allowed. The production was throwing so much stuff at me, and I'm sure Jodan and everybody else when they were captains, they're having so many different meetings with trying to figure out what they wanted to do, stuff that they wanted me to create, that I didn't have a lot of time to go and hang out with everybody. I think I even made a comment, I'm sure that didn't make it on TV at one point. I was just like, I just want to be with you guys again. Like, it's great being captain and sharing, you know, getting the treasures, making sure that I'm winning the treasures and getting a chunk of the change. But it was just so much more fun personally being part of the crew. It was a very different lifestyle. And I think that's what they were trying to create on the show, was a complete divergence from each other's way of being. You know, here's the captain that gets to eat 6 pieces of bacon today. And like, we saw that with Jodan scarfing down in the first episode, which is like, they don't get any food, you know. It's like, that was the true pirate, the true piece of production just glowing through his eyes and him just soaking up the power of being captain, and then the rest of us that were given kibbles and bits pretty much. Here, chew on this. That's a grain of rice. Okay, thank you. And half a banana. That's not right.
Yes. I did wonder about how much literal authority does the captain have over the other contestants? Like, I think Jodan once threatened the crew saying, if you don't follow my instructions, there'll be severe consequences. What exactly could he do?
Who knows? I'll really start with that, because we never really got there. I'm sure that was probably – it could have been him. It could have been his ego getting power hungry, because it did happen to any of us. But I think that was probably most likely the production saying, hey, man, you need to rile this up a little bit. Shake it up. Shake things up. Tell them who you are. Tell them who's boss. And that's probably how that came out, because I think the production was – getting into his head and be like, hey, you've got the power now. You can run this ship how you want to. Go for it. Whereas, yeah, it was it made it interesting for a couple episodes, I'll tell you that. Funny to watch.
I think one gameplay element I think would have made the game a lot more interesting is if the black-spotted individuals could actually vote. Because at a certain point in the game, you had 9 players left, but you had 3 voters. And I thought that was just kind of awkward.
Like, yeah, they should have been able to cast. I mean, I understand them going, once you're cast on the black spot, you lose all of your luxuries, and one of the luxuries is obviously casting your vote, so I get that. But yeah, it might have, had they looked into that formula, would that a formula given them a longer tail or more drama? Maybe they didn't actually look into that, so that would be something that I would, that's a great idea right there, to look for, and if they ever brought it back.
Yeah. Saying, hey, we all black spots, let's all mutiny. But then the one person thinks, no, I'm going to vote for you so that you waste your vote, I get you out. And like, I can imagine, like, I would love to see black spotted individuals try to deceive each other, because otherwise, once they got black spotted, you kind of didn't care about them anymore, because they couldn't do anything about it except for talk to people. And I think that would have been a very interesting. But then again, the whole phrase
about. Yeah,
the whole phrase about. Oh, everybody gets their say. You get your say at Pirates Court. You get your say if you vote. But really, talk. I don't know. It would ruin that dynamic.
Yeah. Speaking of voting, a lot of us were kind of curious as to the method of which people were voting. How did they not cut them? Okay, so for those of you who don't know, how people voted was, there was this big sword that was sticking straight up in the air, and they had these cards in their hands with everybody's name on them, and then also a mutiny card if they wanted to mutiny. And then they would walk up to the sword and then, like, jam the card down on the sword so that it would, like, cut through the middle, and it would just, like, be a stack of cards on this sword. How did people not cut themselves. Or trip on it, or, like, impale themselves with this huge sword?
I think the only way that happened is I think that was one of the times they did try and take the alcohol away from us, was at Pirate's Court, so that we could be somewhat coherent. Because they didn't give a shit whether we drank before the expeditions. That was our own damn fault. Or the night before. There were so many times we were hungover going, this is going to be hell. I can't believe that we're doing this. You know, especially when we had to jump over the side of the ships and swim to shore in shark-infested waters. Not cool when you're still intoxicated. So, yeah, I think we all got lucky there. Because I think I tested it one time and it was actually pretty sharp. It was sharp enough. I think they dulled it down a little bit to where it was sharp enough at the tip to where it would puncture the card and then slide on nicely. But I think the rest of the knife was kind of dulled down a little bit so that nobody would screw themselves up, because there were some pretty aloof cats on that show.
Thinking back, one thing I recall wanting to ask you about was, there was one point at Pirate's Court that you had put Laurel up for the black spot, and you had said something about how you couldn't tell what side she was on. Could you maybe elaborate about what you actually meant? Because it was kind of muddled at that point.
God, dude, seriously, I wish I could go back and figure out what the hell I meant. That was my one retard moment on the whole show. I seriously, everybody kind of looked at me funny, because I was just trying to come up with something. It was one of those moments where you didn't quite look at the whole plan, and I couldn't, I guess I didn't pick out what part she was playing in it. And it was because she was just kind of like, we had Kendra, who was the floater and was making allegiances with everybody to stay on the show. And Jay was using her as a pawn. And then we had her, Laurel, who was just like, I'm just my own woman. I'm here. I'm on this side. Now I'm on this side. And so I guess that's what I was trying to get at. I just did not know how to eloquently speak my thoughts. I really was special that night. Yeah, sadly.
I read it as you didn't want to tell her to her face, you were not on my side, so you're against me. But you're just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it totally could have been that. It could have been the nice guy, me not wanting to hurt feelings. So that is a part of my personality, which shouldn't matter on reality shows. I should have been like, you suck, get out of here, you gotta go adrip now.
I would imagine it's sort of difficult playing with somebody who isn't really, you know, using a strategy. Because I think what's sometimes the downfall of strategic players is that they become easy to predict. It's easy to predict what they're going to do because you know they're playing strategically. But someone like Laurel, who might do anything at any Pirate's Court, it's really hard to play with somebody like that, I would assume, because you can't really predict her actions. Yeah, so I think maybe the side is like, are you on my side? Maybe you're on my side today, but tomorrow you're on Louis' side. I would assume it's kind of difficult to play with that, and maybe even a little bit, it might make somebody neurotic.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's one of the things that kind of got to me, because maybe one of the strategies that I was implementing was trying to read people a little bit and figure out what they were doing, although I was blindsided so many times at the same time of doing that. So I was probably trying to figure out what was up with her, but also there was a few people on the crew that they weren't athletic. And so when we got on these expeditions, it was the same thing as Kendra. You know, I'm sure one or two of us called her dead weight. Like, we actually had to go grab her in the water at one point and pull her to shore. Krista had to go back for her to make sure that she didn't drown. It's one of the times that we jumped over the ship and swam. It's the Christian episode where Joy hurt herself. And so, there was a few of the contestants where it's just like, you're slowing us down. Like, really, like, you're not a huge adventation or huge advancement to any of the expeditions. And, you know, we're just trying to, my personality coming out again is I wanted to get rid of a strong competitor too, but I wanted somebody who's going to push me as well. So I didn't want to get rid of all the fast people or all the strong, the intelligent people. I just wanted to pick people off as they really weren't helping our missions one at a time. But yeah, it was a interesting one. Definitely interesting one.
Very cool.
So is there anything else with the rules that we could think of that maybe is either something that worked or something that could maybe be improved upon?
I love the final four structure for how you have a captain who has the power to pick the person who has all the power. Because there are so many meta strategies I can think of about how Krista or whoever the captain was could have made that decision. Because normally we think about, final three, one person has all the power and picks the person that goes with them. But I love the script reversal in that situation.
I completely agree with you, Nick. I love that too, because the whole episode, until Krista finally made her decision to give the power to Jay, any four of those people could have gone home. You could have made I would say it was maybe a 25% chance of any of those people going home until she finally decided to give Jay the power to vote out somebody. And I really think from a show standpoint, that was maybe the most exciting episode of the season.
Oh, for sure. I mean, giving somebody that had been watching everybody the whole time the power to make that decision too, it's going to be the most strategically planned play, I'd say, probably one in the whole game.
I think it was also potentially Jay's only mistake strategically of the season,
really?
To not get rid of Ben there, because he saw what happened in the next expedition where he beat him out. At least on the show, it looks like he beat him out by like a few seconds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were always neck and neck, those two, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I really liked about this show was the Chest of Zanzibar, just because, you know, they had like, okay, so each week they would open up a different compartment of the treasure, and the whole theme of the expedition would be around whoever's treasure it was. One week was like the Master Gunner, or like the other week was the Navigator, or my two favorites were the ones where like the treasure was kind of affected by it, the Smuggler and the Gambler. The Gambler, where we got the pardon, and then the Smuggler, in which there was like no money, which was really funny.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So I just really kind of thought that was a really cool idea, just to keep each expedition sort of feeling fresh and not like, oh, I'm going to go to the anchor again and do
redundant.
All that. Yeah.
I think that was a great aspect, but I don't think they used it enough. For the ones that weren't treasure-specific ones, like, there was maybe, okay, there was a telescope at one point, but that was it. I wanted every expedition to have, you have to study the person who it belonged to in order to figure out how to progress. But that, it really only happened like two or three times. I think they could have went a lot further with it and been more interesting.
They could add better back, yeah, even deeper backstory. They did do a little bit of the backstory in the expeditions. They spent months, I think, a couple months building all the courses strategically and all deciphering the clues. I mean, it was insane. They did spend a lot of time, but I think they probably could have put more in depth into it. Would have been cool to see the expeditions last longer as well, but as we saw a couple of the expeditions, you know, if people are tired, you can't look at a production and go, these people are on point the whole time, wow, and the more we throw at them the better, it'll be more interesting. I'd be like, no, actually at a certain point you start losing all of your steam and you start walking in circles and you just want to hit your head against the wall. So I'm sure they probably thought of that ahead and like, all right, let's kind of keep them in the middle ground of how intense these are, so that we can actually get these filmed, get these in the can, and then put these on the air, so that it actually looks like. I mean, they of course they can cut material out, but it was pretty cool.
So yeah. The whole legend of this Captain Henry Steele, he wasn't a real pirate, right?
I think he was actually.
Oh, was he?
Oh,
I think, yeah. I'm pretty sure there. Unless they created a wiki page on Henry Steele, I'm pretty sure his name was actually real.
Well, I was under the impression the whole time that
it could fictional. Be, yeah, they totally could.
It's a fictional legend, but it doesn't mean he's a fictional captain.
Oh, true, yeah.
So maybe he was a real person, they made a whole story around him. I mean, I thought they did a good job with that, though. I mean, maybe they could have gone to the well more with some of the other characters, like the gunner and all the people that they structured the expeditions around. But I think the whole thing with Henry Steele and the Chest of Zanzibar, it had a very piratey feel to it. I think they did a really good job with that. And Azmuth, what you were saying before about the pirates using the ship lingo and not making current references, I think definitely added to the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, you have some fun, right? So you don't want to be too stiff on these damn things.
No.
You know, I think we haven't really mentioned Cameron a lot. How was Cameron as a host? How do we think he was?
Well, first, Asmus, what was your impression of him? I mean, how often did you even see him besides what we saw on the show?
He pretty much only came on board when we were finishing a treasure, doing the expedition, and Pirate's Court. So we didn't really, we didn't meet with him at all other than that. I think they could have you can always point in the direction of, I think they might have been able to find somebody better. I think he was good. I think they could have found somebody that was more relevant, possibly. I think that's the only choice I would have made different. He was great. Cameron seems like a cool cat. Good friends with Mark, and so that's how he got the job. Australia, he had an accent. That was cool, instead of just being the regular alpha male that most of these reality shows have, that all of us know in the U.S., which does sell. So I like that they did go in a different direction than that.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what were they going to say? I forget.
You're wondering what you were going to say.
So. Yeah.
Right there with you.
I just wonder how – I was thinking, oh, he was cast just for that accent. But I was just thinking, would it have been made more sense if we had a pirate as the host? Like, a guy who just was a totally played-up pirate rather than have a real-ish person. I was always wondering about that.
Sort of in a Giles fashion to whodunit?
Maybe. Like a cheesy pirate as the host. Would that have been more, would that have been too silly? Would that have been just silly enough?
Might be the same thing. I think that it might have been too silly. I love the idea, and I definitely would have gone in that direction as well at first thought too. But then I don't think we were – like, had the show gone in another direction with – they did give us a whole lot of the pirate vocabulary to really work with, and they talked about us talking like pirates on the ship the whole time, and that didn't happen. So since it was such a new show, they didn't know which direction things were gonna take, and had it taken more of a piratey, we're all talking like pirates now, or that kind of feel, then yeah, I think maybe having a pirate host would have been hilarious, and it totally would have fit with the show. But I think it was a good separation, because we were real people just being pirates, and so he was our real world connection, I guess.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was all right. I mean, he's not necessarily the most memorable host in the world, but I mean, if you look at Jeff Probst in Borneo, I mean, he wasn't that big of a character either. And I think Cameron, as the episodes went on, sort of grew into the role. He started asking more pointed questions at Pirate's Court. So, I mean, I think he did an acceptable job as the host, but I definitely don't think he's, he's not going to go down in TV history as being a great host or anything.
Or is Pirate Master is a great reality show?
So, hey. Yeah. It depends on who you ask.
Yeah, we all like Pirate Master here. We're all big fans.
Yeah. So I guess, does anybody have any final thoughts on Pirate Master in general?
Another rule thing for me, I kind of hit on it before, I really didn't like how the final three worked with bringing the ghost back to make that decision. I think 9 out of 10 times they're probably going to vote for the person who maybe played the most devious game, and I think in a game about pirates, the most devious pirate should be rewarded. But that's just my opinion.
Oh my god, what if they reversed? What if they said, "Ha ha, we tricked you. Jay is in the finals. Krista's out because he's the most piratey."
She was too nice.
Like, the person you want to backstab the most is the best pirate. Thus, Jay, you're in with Ben.
Yeah, I think that would make more sense. Yeah.
That would have been very controversial, but very interesting. And as a Jay fan, I would have enjoyed it.
And then no one would have wanted to have joined Jay's crew, and then you have a whole good versus evil thing going. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that would have been a nice duality.
Azmuth, do you think people, let's say Jay was in the final two, let's say he voted out Ben and won that expedition and went against either Louie or Krista at the end, do you think people would have, I mean, obviously they would have, some people would have joined Jay's crew just based on the fact that you need three people for the crew. Do you think he was so disliked that they would have sabotaged him, or do you think people would have fought hard for Jay?
Man, that's a tough one right there. Really good question, because my first thought is, yeah, I'd be on Jay's crew. But then the second thought is, oh man, I want to kick you in the ass. I want to take you down right now. But then there's that. If you didn't get, so here's the thing. If you weren't going to get a slice of the pie, it was the same thing with having the first and second mates. They made it too pleasing to the opponents, or not even opponents, but the other competitors that were on your team, to make sure that you won. So how they gave us, or how, if it was Ben who gave us his winnings, I think Ben decided to do that, how he offered us his winnings if we would go and join his crew, and and win the expedition, you know, that made us want to fight that much harder because there's more money at stake. So he had done, he had already done really well. And actually he didn't give us all the, all of his money. I know that because I would have came out with even more, I think. But yeah. So had they made it, so it was just like, you can help them win. Here's another chance to be on an expedition and get on TV. But you're not going to get any pay for this. Had they done that, then there would have been a good chance of somebody trying to trip somebody, trying to sabotage one of the tasks, hide a clue. Yeah, it could have gone in a completely different fashion, I think.
Would have been fun.
Well, I will say one thing. We weren't the only ones to like the show. The show actually won an Emmy for the best original main title theme music. So,
oh, okay.
So it's not the word. So there, some people love the show in some ways.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Cool. I'm going to put that on my IMDb. Shit.
Russ Landau always does a great job with the themes. He did the theme for Survivor, and he also contributed a lot to its soundtrack along with David Vanacore. Actually, there were a lot of music people on this show, like with you and Ben. And I think there was another person, right?
Yeah, and actually, Joy was actually an actress, too. I think she was a model, actress, dancer, I think. So, yeah, I'm not sure. There was a couple entertainers on there.
Yeah.
So, Azmuth Week, when we checked out your IMDb, which you mentioned before, of all the stuff that you've done since Pirate Master, and it's pretty extensive, including Pirates of the Caribbean. So, how did this come about?
So much. It did all come about from Pirates of the Caribbean. I hadn't decided to be. So when we went on the show, I had just got on Pirates of the Caribbean completely random. I ended up meeting a woman one night out at a film dinner meeting that I was at, and she said that you got a great look, you got the dreadlocks, you should go down and meet with Sandy Alisi. They're hiring for Pirates 3 right now. They'll probably pick you. Went down 2 weeks later. I was getting fitted, went and did a composite shot up in Palmdale for when Calypso explodes and all the crabs, and then went and worked 3 more days on it at the Disney Ranch in the Oak Scene, which I got bumped up and picked out by Gore Verbinski and his first AD to actually get picked to walk the plank, or not walk the plank, but walk up on the gallows in groups out of like 500 Pirates A, B, and C. I was in the last group and got pulled up to be what was, I think, the first crew that walked up on the plank after this other kid mouthed off because he was getting overspray from them soaking the gallows. It was pretty funny how it happened all that day, but it was great. So from that, I had worked on a friend's project once or twice, just hanging out in the background, friends that were in college shooting stuff, but it was never anything to me. I thought I smoked way too much pot back in the day to remember a single line. It shakes down your memory. Well, things change. So, so I worked 4 days on that, got me all my SAG vouchers, and I didn't know anything about that, but it was just one of those little dream random happenings that are magic. And you're like, okay, some people work 10 years trying to get their SAG vouchers. You've got SAG vouchers. What are you going to do with it? And I'm like, oh. I don't know, maybe do some more background. That sounds cool. And then I did a year of that and started taking acting serious. I was rather inebriated on some substances one night, saw acting as just this amazing humans really being in touch with their vessel and this body that we have, and our abilities so much that you can let something else pass and flow through you. And so that really changed my mind on acting, that after a year of doing background. And so then I started taking it serious, booked a little short film, and then went from a short film, my first lead, to helping find an investor for I was shooting commercials actually for Pirate Master with my parents' furniture company, Designer's Warehouse, and the cinematographer there, the videographer guy, he liked me, liked my personality, said, hey, you'd be great in one of these movies that I wrote. And so picked me as one of his lead characters. And then I brought another connection to that, which the money actually never existed. But we got back into the hometown on our home turf. My parents had just taken a little loan out and had a little extra money. We have 3-day production. We had crew from Seattle, actors from L.A., ready to go, and there was no money. So my parents threw a little bit of cash at it just to get it breathing life again. And then I kind of fell into the production. I went from a 5-page short film where I didn't know shit about acting to here's 12 pages a day, learn how to act, onto that. And then also here, protect your parents' money and everything else that's going on, because we had a joke of a production crew. These a few people had said that they were a production company and didn't know crap about the game and how to actually do a film, feature film, let alone a short film. And so I learned a lot. It was my just getting thrown into the waters and learn how to swim. That was my crash course in production. And then we shot another feature film after that 3 months later. So got a little distribution going with that and just kind of snowballed. Felt into acting more, started loving acting more, fell into production more. And so I'm working with that a lot now, helping actually find investments for feature films, reading more scripts, involved in other projects. And it's one of my chosen careers now, which is completely strange. I didn't know that, thanks to reality, you know, they give me a little bit of steam, a little bit of momentum underneath me, that it was going to take me in this direction. And it's been awesome. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Wow. That's awesome.
Very cool. Now, if any viewers want, I mean, any listeners want to hear about stuff that you're into, why don't you put out your Twitter handle?
Really, all you got to do is just look my name up. Everything's pretty much the same across Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I keep it nice and easy, just Azmith Kaminsky. It's just my name, AzmythKaminsky, which pops up pretty easily when you do little searches. So yeah, check that out on Facebook, like my Facebook fan page if you want to. Instagram's always fun to see random things that I'm doing. Twitter, I think, is very much of a joke because a lot of people just repeat things that people say all day long, and you know, they don't talk about it. My dog just took a poop, you know, as much anymore. They're doing, I'm baking cake. Awesome, great. That's wonderful to let the world know. But it's fun. It's notifications. If I'm DJing somewhere, I drop the flyers on there along with all the other forms, and try and share cool things, films that friends are in, and the things that I'm trying to keep on tabs with, like world ecology and GMOs. And I care a lot about this place that we live in, and so it's nice to have some social media standards out there, not just the regular crap that a lot of people post. I kind of care about what I say and try and make it express my personality at the same time too. So there you go, man. There's my links.
That is awesome.
Awesome.
Well, Azmith, we want to thank you for giving us 2 hours of your precious time. We know you're a busy guy, but we really appreciate it. We all were ecstatic when we found out you would agree to join us, and we're just thrilled.
Thanks for coming on.
Maybe not. Yes, thank you, Captain Azmith. The voyage is over, and it looks like we're going to have to cut you adrift.
Oh, it's got to be like that, huh? All right, I'm a good swimmer.
All right, awesome, thank you, guys.
Thanks so much. That was a lot of fun.
Well,
all right. Yeah. Bye. So there you have it. That was Azmith from Pirate Master. We had such a blast talking to him. For those of you who are at this point in the podcast, thank you. And hopefully next time we'll talk about maybe a show you've watched or maybe haven't watched before.
Yeah, we've been thinking about possibly Kid Nation. We can think about maybe The Mole. Or really anything else. If you have any ideas for old shows you want us to talk about, feel free to tell us or comment it or something.
Yeah. And we'll post our Twitter handles as well. So if you want to tweet us with the ideas, you could definitely go ahead and do that. And hopefully there's some old reality shows out there that maybe didn't really make it, but you loved them. And if we like them too, we'll talk about them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, till next time, here's us signing out.
It's Reality Day.